Well, today's Holy Gospel is the second time John has told us about something happening at the time of Passover. First time was when Jesus was in Jerusalem. And we heard about that last Sunday when Jesus took a cord and made a whip and he cleared the temple of the traders and the money changers. There will be a third time when Jesus arrives in Jerusalem for the last time. And we'll remember that in 2 weeks when on Palm Sunday we recall the triumphant entry of Jesus on the back of the colt of a donkey. And they say, Hosanna in the highest. They proclaim him king. And that's the beginning of Holy Week. John wants us to understand. And he draws our attention to the fact that this extraordinary feeding of the crowds took place at Passover time. And it should connect it in our minds both with the first Passover itself, the time when God liberated the children of Israel from Egypt, and then led them through the wilderness to the promised land, and with the other Passover events of the gospel. The cleansing of the temple and Jesus' death and resurrection on the other. The fact that God fed the children of Israel during their wilderness wanderings with a special kind of bread, a bread from heaven that was called manna. And you can read about that in Exodus chapter 16. Manna is provided daily by God because the people are grumbling and complaining. They were wishing that they could be back in Egypt. Really? It would be better if we were eating leeks and onions by the Nile. Really? In slavery? Really? God gave them manna in the morning. It almost sounds like a song. Manna in the morning, quail in the evening. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Lord, I'm repenting of that already. Today's Holy Gospel gives us the account of Jesus' very own provision of food for a large crowd. Out in a wilderness area, the area of the Galilee, away from towns where food might have been found. There were no flash foods. There was no Harvey's. There was no Walmart. Lord knows there was no Publix, just like Douglas. From our lips to God's ears. But it was kind of a remote area, and Jesus stepped up. But remarkably, later on in this sixth chapter of John, there's a long discussion about the bread from heaven. And I think it's very important that I share with you that all four of the Gospels tell of this account, the feeding of the multitude, the 5,000, in remarkable detail. Now, you know, if it's in one of the Gospels, it's important. If it's in two of the Gospels, you got to sit up and take notice. If it's in three of the Gospels, you can take it to the bank. If it's in four of the Gospels, it's a solid rock. And you should read all four to see the details. There's nothing contradicting each of the stories. They lock together like a mesh. It's magnificent. And all four Gospels tell of this. They're so detailed that they had to have been from eyewitness accounts. Okay. John, who wrote this Gospel, was John the beloved apostle. So he was an eyewitness. Matthew is who? The tax collector. Then you have Luke. Where did Luke hear about this? He wasn't one of the apostles. He was a friend of Paul. And Paul was one of the apostles. Mark was a good friend of Peter's. His name is John Mark. And so his story, in other words, his account of Jesus' life, comes from Peter. So this is all you can lock it in. And there's no made-up story here. The details, this is not about sharing and caring. I went to a church once and there was a pastor, it wasn't the pastor, it was a visiting priest. He preached that this was not a miracle. If anything, it was a miracle of the sharing that this young boy brought his lunch and he shared it. And so everybody took their lunch out and shared it with one another. No. No. I know I preached this story once before here at St. Andrew's, but I got to tell you this. My daughter, Teresa, who many of you know, She was, this was 2002, in seminary, so she was little. she was probably about 9, not even 10. And she's sitting there, and this guy's preaching this. And I was doing a favor for a friend, and I was leading the music, playing the guitar. And so this priest is preaching about the miracle of the sharing. And Teresa, God love her, young woman sitting in church with her mama and her brother. And when the priest said, this was not a miracle by Jesus, this was the miracle of sharing, she said, that's not what happened, in that kind of a voice. And I think everybody there said, thank God she said that. Because they were thinking it. But where do they get this stuff from? It's not from the Bible. The Bible said, Jesus said a prayer, and all of a sudden, people were fed. This is about the power of Jesus and his ministry and the ministry of his followers. Well, we know it was springtime because there was grass. And we know that it was Passover. And Passover is either in late March or April. And so the grass only happens when there's rain and the snow peaks are melting. So it's kind of lush. It's a nice hillside. And Jesus asks Philip, as the gospel said, as a test, because he knew exactly what he had in store for him. What did he say? He said, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? And Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, our personal hero, Andrew, St. Andrew, the brother of Peter, he spoke up and he said, here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? Amazing that he spoke up. Andrew and Philip knew that they had no solution to the problem, but they also knew to bring what was available to Jesus' attention. You can never tell what he's going to do with it. And part of Christian faith is the expectation that Jesus will do something that we haven't thought of. Something new. Something creative. And probably spectacular. The reaction of the people and the response of Jesus to their reaction are both very telling. Jesus told the apostles, have them sit down. There was about 5,000 men. Pretty huge crowd by any standards. But don't stop there. That didn't include the women and the children. So usually when you have a man who's married, that's times 2. And if you have kids, some people have 2 kids, some people have more. If you look at that, there was at least 5,000 and probably more like 10 or 15,000 people there. Can you imagine the numbers that were there on that hillside? That's a pretty good sized crowd. Well, this is on a grass hillside. You're talking about 10 to 15,000 people. And Jesus spoke the customary blessing over the loaves and the fish, giving thanks. What he probably said was, blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. If you want to hear that in Hebrew, come to the Seder dinner. And I'll pray it out loud in Hebrew. And it's just so beautiful to hear it said. But you don't need to hear that now. Jesus wanted the people to see that the object of the blessing was not the food, but the one who provided it, the one who gave it, the God who gave it. And Jesus looked up to heaven. In dependence on the Father of this miraculous food, miraculous provision that would take place. Then he broke the loaves into pieces and divided the fish into portions and gave. Now, part of our Greek lesson for today is that the Greek verb that was used is kept giving. It's the imperfect tense. It doesn't stop. It just keeps going. And so Jesus kept giving his portions to the disciples to give them to the people. The miracle itself took place. It's not stated, but the tense of the verb gave would indicate that the bread multiplied in Jesus' hands. The correlation to the Israelites in the wilderness is so very important because here, once again, God is providing the bread to his people in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, the long-promised Messiah. And like manna in the wilderness, God provided much more than they needed. So much that they had as much as they wanted. And you know how people can be when there's free food. You ever watch that? You go to a luncheon someplace and the food is free and the plates aren't big enough. The people were apparently astonished because the supply never ran out. And how many baskets were left over? 12. Significant number. How many apostles were there? 12. And John puts it this way. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who's to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew to a mountain by himself. Now, by the way, this took place at a place on the Sea of Galilee, or Lake Tiberias, and it's a place called Tabgha. And then the mountain that Jesus withdrew to was right behind it. And it became known as the Mount of Beatitudes. You put this together. But wait. The site where Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fishes would also be a place where he served bread and fish when the risen Jesus appeared to the apostles in John chapter 21. When he asked them, "Children, have you caught anything?" They'd been out all night fishing, and they hadn't. And he told them to go out and put their nets off the other side. That's a whole nother gospel, a whole nother lesson. But just understand, God loves to do things at the same place. See, Israel wasn't a very big country. And if you remember, 2 weeks ago, we talked about Mount Moriah, where Abraham took Isaac, and that became the Temple Mount. The mountain where Jesus also, on the side of that mountain, carried his cross. God loves to use the same place for different things. I could make a list of all the different things that he does. Jesus' apostles and disciples learned some very important lessons on that day during the second year of Jesus' ministry. They learned that spiritual responsibility is never limited by human ability. Our every breath is a gift from God, and this teaches us to depend totally upon him. In this situation, even though there was just a small amount of food, 5 small barley loaves and 2 small pickled fish, God was there. Jesus accepted the gift from this young man that Andrew presented, and he multiplied it more than 5,000-fold. And we can learn from this that if we give God all that we are and have, our time, our talents, our prayers, and possessions, he'll make them go further than we ever thought possible. What Jesus did that day formed the wonders that would take place recorded in the rest of the 6th chapter of John's Gospel. Jesus walking on the water. Jesus proclaiming, "I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." That's John chapter 6, verses 47 to 51. Only Jesus can fill us with more than we can possibly imagine. So I'm going to close this morning with a question for everyone here. If you were Andrew, would you have presented this young boy and his meager meal to Jesus? Think about that. Thank God for the faith that was present that day from which we can learn so much. Multiplication by faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.